Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Daily, a big, big Monday. Coming on the show today, Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester alongside you here. We've got our first full week of college football, really our second full week, but our first full week of chaos already in college football as we go into week number two of the college football season. KU, K-State, both underwhelming, but with different outcomes. We'll get into each of those. We have the full slate, of course, of the NFL schedule. And the Royals are on a heater. Coming up on the program today, K-State Wildcat Athletics radio play-by-play broadcaster Wyatt Thompson will join us to go back through the game we watched on Saturday and look ahead to the first real big showdown of the season for the Wildcats, really for anybody in our neck of the woods against Arizona. We'll get to that preview as well with Wyatt Thompson. We will get to, of course, KU's disappointment in Champaign, and the Royals hoping for some Champaign, and they went a long way into potentially popping those bottles for a playoff appearance over the weekend. We'll have all of that for you. The IHOP hotline is open here in the first segment, 869-1240. IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. We're happy to be here with that. We'll have a giveaway for you. We'll give away a little HTO later in the program as well. It's a jam-packed show. We're excited about it. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be here this morning. Glad to be here with you. Long weekend. I feel like just, you know, I'm kind of dragging again this morning. Monday mornings are typically that way. I don't know about you, but it was good to get back with football. It was good to, you know, get back with college football, NFL, all of that. And so looking forward to jumping into it.
Yeah, Mondays are good, but Mondays are reaction. I love Monday shows because we got a lot to get to. Like, it all piles up on you over the weekend, like the different things that are happening and people's reactions to them, and you just kind of file them away and get them ready for a Monday. So I am excited about that. I've got to go out to the state fair, Tom. This is going to be a long week for me. I'm out to the state fair today and tomorrow. So if you're planning on going out to the fair, stop by the 12 News booth and say hello. We'll be out there having some fun with people, eating some corn, no doubt. I always have to hit the gyros for, you know, us hillbillies. But the gyros are fantastic. I always find those. But if you're out at the fair, say hi. And I can't wait to talk to people when I'm out there telling me about KU and K-State football. I always do. Like, people always come up and they want to know the latest. And we can start there as well. Have Wyatt Thompson in our next segment. What a weird weekend. I said this to somebody. It feels like KU and K-State have swapped identities, right? Like, K-State's now high-flying, can't play any defense. KU is grinded out, you know, whatever. The outcomes are different. I would be stunned if anybody would tell you they weren't disappointed in the way both teams played. Different reasons. K-State obviously figured out a way to get it done. I don't know who's better, Tulane or Illinois. I'd be curious to see those two teams play. I thought Tulane's young quarterback, I was with Lewis Riddick on the broadcast, I thought he looked awesome. But K-State could not stop the big play early. Avery Johnson needed a little time to get into it. He certainly did in the second half, and they got it done. And we'll have more on that with Wyatt Thompson. But KU, Tommy, and I know a lot of KU fans feel like the sky is falling right now. It's not. The 12-team playoff, that really, unless you thought KU was going to run the table this year, that loss doesn't mean a whole lot. I think there are things within the loss that should concern us. But again, we've talked about this ad nauseum. The Big 12 is probably a one-bid league this year because probably it's going to take a non-conference champion to have two or fewer losses, which just doesn't seem likely this year. So if you're a KU fan, I think the bigger concern are the things that happened within the game more than the loss itself, Tommy. Like, the way that they played, they were clearly a better team than Illinois. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That is absolutely apparent to anybody who watched that game. But man, some of the play calling decision was as bad as you'll ever see. And Jalen Daniels looked bad. He did not look good at all.
Well, I think that, you know, first off, I want to take a little bit of the I don't want to say the blame, but a little bit of the results of the game off of Jalen Daniels and you know, the players in general. I think the play calling 100%
was terrible.
Was what did them in. I mean, Jeff Grimes calling the plays for the Jayhawks let those players down on Saturday night because it was absolutely obvious what Kansas needed to do to win that game, where they were having success, and they completely abandoned it. They completely got away from it. The Jayhawks have two of the best running backs in the Big 12. They have collectively probably the best running back room in the entire conference. And, you know, even in that game on Saturday, Devin Neal showed off in that regard. He was averaging about 7 yards a carry.
He was insane.
And they completely got away from him and just put the ball in Jalen Daniels' hands. Now, I want to talk about Jalen Daniels briefly because I would venture to guess I have a different outlook on Jalen Daniels than you do. He didn't look good on Saturday. Didn't look good in the first game. It looked mediocre, I guess, in the very first game against Lindenwood. I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with Jalen Daniels. To me, he looks rusty. He looks like he hasn't played. He hasn't been out on the field, you know, for quite a while. And when he was a season ago, he wasn't 100%. So he looks rusty. There wasn't anything to me watching him play that I thought, oh man, like he's battling with something. He's dealing with something.
I just think
he looked rusty. I just think that he looked like he needed to shake the rust off a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm still optimistic that moving forward, he's going to get sharper because there were moments, there were flashes of vintage Jalen Daniels against Illinois. There were flashes of that against Lindenwood. It wasn't consistent, but I think that's part of the equation when you're out and, you know, you're on the sideline for the length of time that Jalen Daniels was. That being said, though, it just goes back to the play calling again, because the coaches put him in a position that he was not capable of delivering in. One way or another, he wasn't capable of delivering in those situations. He had more interceptions than, you know, anybody feels good about if you're a Kansas fan. And they took the ball out of the hands of their dynamic running backs. And so for that reason, and basically, in my opinion, that reason alone, that's why Kansas lost the game.
I don't think it can be that reason alone. It's certainly the biggest reason. The play calling was 100% the worst part of that game. No question about it. The defense was incredible.
Yeah.
The backs, the offensive line were incredible. They were better on both lines. They were better at the skill positions, and they somehow lost that game. There's, you know, two very glaring reasons that we just hit on. They should not have been throwing bombs on first down, especially when you see that Jalen Daniels is not right. He's not, and I'm not saying that because of injury. I have no idea how he feels physically, but he couldn't hit short throws. He couldn't hit intermediate throws. He couldn't hit long throws. He's off right now. He's not an explosive runner right now. And so when you're seeing all these things, we're all seeing these things happening against an inferior opponent. You just have to run the ball. Like, that's it. They cannot stop you running the ball. You're better than they are, especially in the trenches. Your quarterback is clearly struggling right now. Run the ball. I mean, it is insane. And I haven't listened to the post-game audio yet, and I will. But just wild. Why on earth were they not doing the most glaringly obvious thing we saw of anything we were seeing this weekend of the things we were paying attention to? It just didn't make any sense. Like, are you trying to prove something with Jalen Daniels? I don't know what he looks like in practice. He probably looks fine. I'm not saying Jalen Daniels is a long-term issue. I'm saying within that game, he was playing like crap, and they just kept trying. And you can't, like, why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. If there's rust, you'd better run the ball, because there's rust. It's not like, look, if they were way up on Illinois and they said, all right, Jalen, like, let's get the rust off. Let's go bombs away. Let's get you ready to roll. Okay, fine. But they were not. That game was closer than it should have been because of the turnovers. And KU was clearly a better team. Just wild. I could not figure out, and nor could anybody else that I was communicating with during the game that was watching it. It's just like, what are they doing? Like, what on earth is happening? And how does Coach Leipold even let it happen? And that dynamic is really interesting now. New offensive coordinator. Coach Leipold's had the same guy for what, Tommy? 20, 30 years?
Yeah.
How long is Kotelnicki?
He was with Kotelnicki for, like, all the way back to their D3 days with you know, Leipold. So there's a lot of continuity and familiarity there.
So Leipold has to now reevaluate his role in how that process plays out. Probably forever, it was like, you do your thing, man. You can't do that now. Because at some point, he needed to say, if you throw that ball on first down again, you're fired right now. Stop doing that. It was wild.
There were several situations, and I'm not specifically citing any one of them, but I just remember, like, second down and two. And they throw a 40-yard pass down the sideline.
It was
and
unbelievable.
Then third down and two, they throw another 40-yard pass down the sideline. Like, what are you guys doing? And the other thing, too, to keep in mind, last season when the Jayhawks were passing the football, and it was primarily Jason Bean, they were distributing the ball out to not just the wide receivers. They were distributing it out to tight ends. They were distributing it out to running backs out of the backfield. They didn't do that on Saturday. It was, by and large, the wide receivers. Like, we saw Luke Grimm a ton. We saw Skinner a ton. We saw Arnold a ton. Like, and that's fine. Those guys are extremely talented wide receivers. But Daniels didn't target tight ends. He didn't target Neal or Highshaw out of the backfield. In fact, I think there was maybe one target to a running back the entire game. That is malpractice when you are an offensive coordinator for a team that's built the way that Kansas is. And I think the positive thing, if I'm going to find a silver lining about this, and you kind of have to after this loss, is that in every other phase of the game, the Jayhawks dominated Illinois.
Absolutely.
They dominated them on the lines. They dominated them defensively. I felt like they did a pretty good job of containing Luke Altmyer, probably a better job than they did a year before. So you can check that box because that was a major priority going into the game. And the fact that it was, you know, kind of exposed, like that whole offensive play calling situation exposed in game number two. I'd rather it be exposed in game number two than in game number 10.
That's the silver lining, is it doesn't impact the Big 12 race at all. And we know now the Big 12 champion gets in. If you're KU, the silver linings are exactly that. They were clearly the better team.
Yeah.
Now, long term, you would hope that that is a one-time occurrence for the new offensive coordinator. I suspect it is with Leipold this week. The Jalen Daniels part, we just have to see. He's got to shake that rust off. If he doesn't fix his accuracy, it's going to change, I think, the way this team plays football, or at least the way we thought it would. And we'll talk to Shreya Slada about all this. What is, you know, what's the vibe around Grimes after the game? How did Leipold handle that? He was seeing the same thing we were. So we'll get into that. We have Shreya Wednesday. We'll have more on this game coming up in our second hour as we will look big picture and tell you why it's not that big a deal. It's really not that big a deal. The underlying factors are the loss itself is not. But we'll get into that. When we return, we'll go to the Cats. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joins us next. K-State, I thought they had more concerning things within the game than KU did, but they won the game. So it was a really strange dynamic between the two teams. We'll go to it next. Wyatt Thompson joins us. It's Albrecht and Caster. All this football talk, by the way, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Your new radio home for K-State Athletics, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on Kansas State. Let's go now to the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson.
All right, and we are joined by Wyatt Thompson. K-State 34-27, we'll call it survivors against Tulane. At least that's the way it felt on our end. It's funny, Wyatt, we were just talking about KU. KU felt like they dominated the game and lost. K-State felt like they got outplayed, but won. College football was wild across the board this weekend, but a survival is how I'm looking at it for K-State. How'd you feel about that win in Tulane?
Jacob, to be honest with you, and good to be on with both of you guys again, I think you nailed it. It was a game where I'm going to be honest and say, first and foremost, I'm going to tip my cap to Tulane. I really like their team. I think their coach is very, very good. I don't know if anybody had a real feel of what they were really going to be, because Southeast Louisiana was not much of a competition for them at all. But when you watch them live and you see that young quarterback operate, and he played pretty free and easy, and K-State had some issues defensively for the first time and had to adjust. Coach Klieman after the game called it a culture win, and I'm there with him. I think K-State did a good job of making some adjustments in the second half, but darn fortunate to get out of there. Down two scores twice to find a way to win, I'm in. And I said to Stan, hey, a win is a win, man. Nobody's going to care in November, right? We won the game, and that's all that matters.
You know, Wyatt, I thought it was interesting because, you know, obviously the defense late in the game, they were able to be opportunistic and, you know, force a turnover at least to be able to get in position to win the game. But the secondary, I was surprised to see kind of struggled against the Tulane passing attack. And, you know, I don't know if it was a combination of, you know, some play calling maybe early on in the game. I felt like maybe there was some soft coverage that let Tulane's, you know, offense really kind of go wild. But for whatever reason, it was a day for the secondary to forget.
Well, I think there are a couple of things of thought here. One, I would tell you that the fact that they established the run early helped the pass game. They have just enough weapons with the quarterback. I don't know what you guys thought, but I really appreciated their running backs. I thought they ran hard most of the time. Their lead guy is known as a between the tackles guy, but he can get wide. But then once they established the run and started to get some things going in the pass game, they were difficult to shut down. They were hurting K-State on the crossing routes. They were hurting them down the seam. And K-State wasn't getting a lot of pressure because they had to respect the run. And I think they finally did make some adjustments and got some more pressure. But they had to work their tails off to get there. I'm going to credit Tulane for some of that. But it was a hard day for that defense. But at the end, in the second half, I thought they, you know, the coaches always say they bowed their neck and got tougher. And I believe that was the case. But I think the offense did, too. And I'm excited about that. I know you can analyze, well, they need to get Dylan Edwards the ball more and, you know, let Avery go and all of that. And everybody's got an opinion there. And we can talk about all of that. But I thought Avery played an okay game. DJ Giddens is special. And they were opportunistic. I think you nailed that one, Tommy. They made plays when they had to make plays.
Yeah, and they play. I mean, look, they gave up 7 points in the second half.
Exactly.
We can say anything we want. That's why they won the game. They were losing because of the defense in the first half. They were winning because of the defense in the second half. Long term, though, Wyatt, what are we seeing from the defense? Because I liked the Tulane quarterback a lot, like most people who have eyes and watched that game. Mm-hmm. But Tulane is not going to be the best offense they play this year. So, you know, big picture with K-State, when the expectations and the goals are as high as they possibly can be, what do we see from the defense that can be cured? How much better can this defense be, or will it be a liability, do you think, throughout the season?
I have a hard time thinking it will be a liability, to be honest with you, Jacob, but I do think improvement is needed. You know, a lot of the coach speak will say something like this: you know, most of your best improvement comes from week one to week two. That wasn't necessarily the case here. That's obvious. But I do like the secondary. I think they're active athletes. They have some experience. But Saturday was a little bit of a downer in that first half. You can't mask that. But I'm also going to say that I think they probably needed a little bit better play up front. When you're giving up, you know, pretty good chunks of yardage in the run game, and then they get both going, it is a hard spigot to turn off. And that's what we saw. I think they've got a lot of really good young football players up front, but those guys, many of them were in that environment for the first time, whether it's, well, I don't even need, you guys know the names. It is what it is. And I do think they'll get better. And maybe some better, you know, game plan too. It was tough, though. No question about it.
Wyatt, you mentioned just a moment ago about people talking about Dylan Edwards needing more touches, and, mm-hmm. and he was very productive in limited action. In fact, in a lot of his touches came later in the game, and he made the most of that for sure. I wonder, because DJ Giddens was incredibly effective running in the game, and you know, so I don't necessarily think that it's the right move to give Dylan Edwards more touches at the expense of DJ Giddens. But I wonder, I know that a huge part of what Avery Johnson brings to the table is the versatility and the ability to throw and run. Mm-hmm. You know, Avery wasn't super effective running in the game on Saturday, so I don't necessarily know if it's the right move either to sacrifice some of his touches in running the football in favor of Dylan Edwards. How do you think that they can try to divvy this up to make it work best for everybody
offensively? I love the question, and I think we can analyze this all day long. Here's what first comes to mind when I hear you talking about that and asking what you asked. One, again, be repetitive here, but give Tulane a lot of credit. I felt like they were going to do one thing defensively for sure, and they did. And that was basically take away the quarterback run game with Avery. For the most part, they did that. What did that lead to? A 9.5 yards per carry average for DJ Giddens. Yeah. That's what it led to. Avery didn't throw the ball a lot, but I thought when he did, he was pretty accurate with maybe an exception or two. I love the play on the touchdown pass to Will Swanson because I remember calling it and saying, something to the effect of it wasn't his most accurate pass. But if you go back and look, I mean, he's drifting to his left and is off balance. And it was a really, really, really fine play, right? So for me, this is a young quarterback, and I'm willing to give him, you know, some rope here. And I think they'll give him more on his plate as time goes on. But they've made it pretty clear they don't want to run him too much early on, and they want to get those other guys involved and develop that pass game. And so I think that's part of it too. But again, they took that away, but they gave up some in the run game, and now to Dylan, okay? I don't know that they played those guys together as much as maybe some would like to see. I'm not sure I'm smart enough coach-wise to tell you why necessarily, but I think you will see it, though, moving forward. The guy is such an electric talent. You've got to get him some more touches somehow, some way, don't you think? That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. Avery, I thought, when we talk about accuracy, it was a problem in the first half, not as much in the second half. I try to imagine myself as somebody who didn't watch Avery Johnson play high school football. And mm-hmm. what I would think of the way he's developed so far. And most of what I hear, and I could totally see this, is we're concerned about his accuracy. I go back to how great a thrower of the ball he was in high school. So it doesn't concern me as much because I know it's there. And I think we're seeing it develop. But I get it. Like, I get why people have that concern. He's missing too many throws. But I do think it was an insanely encouraging thing to see how much better in the second half he appeared to be than he was in the first half, and we can see that growth. He's barely played college football, and a team just threw the kitchen sink at not letting him use perhaps what's perceived to be his greatest weapon, which is his ability to run. So how much growth can he quickly attain? Because you've got, and Arizona didn't look great last week either, but it's Arizona, and it's at home. Mm-hmm. I don't think K-State can afford that kind of first half again from the offense or the defense. So how quickly do you think he can react and respond to that from the second half to try to build on it?
I like that question too. And I think the short answer is I think he's just going to continue to get better. And I think he'll be better this week. I'm an early morning guy, and I came in here at about 7 o'clock this morning. Avery was already in there working and looking at tape and stuff. And that's, we all know his skill set. We all know how he's committed to this. They're going to do everything they can to help him, I think. And he's going to get better as he goes. I think that's the obvious statement here. But in addition to that, I think he's just such a student of the game that will help him as he goes, too. I mean, he hasn't been here a real long time yet, but it's hard to not be impressed at how hard he works with everything. And I've said that before, everything from the weight training to the nutrition to the film study to the throwing with the receivers and all of those kind of things. Do they have to be better? Yes. More consistent? Certainly. But he's going to continue to grow and to develop. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah. And just a follow-up on that, Wyatt, you know, so the two touchdowns that Avery threw on Saturday, one was to Will Swanson, the tight end. One was to DJ Giddens out of the backfield. I wonder, I know that some of the issues from an accuracy perspective in the game on Saturday with Avery really came when he was targeting the wide receivers. I know mm-hmm. that, you know, there was an issue with Sterling Lockett where Lockett was wide open. That could have been a touchdown. You know, he was streaking open and Avery missed him. He failed to connect with Jaden Jackson. Also, that would have been, you know, a first down play. Do you anticipate, you know, as the season progresses, that Avery will lean more on the tight ends and the running backs in the passing game? Is it going to take some time, do you think, for the connection to be where it should be with those wide receivers?
I think it's probably true with everybody, to be honest with you, Tommy, and not just the receivers. Do the receivers need to be better? Yes, I think so. But as an example, I really felt like going into the year that Dante Cephas would be a big factor for this team. That hasn't necessarily been the case. I also thought that about Garrett Oakley. Garrett's basically got one catch in two games. Other guys have stepped up. We've seen a little bit of that. So I think it's really a team that is young in some very key spots, you know, trying to get acclimated to a hard game very quickly. I think we just have to show some patience, and I know that's hard, but I think they are getting better. And I think we saw that during the game. That's, to me, that's probably the best part of what I'm sure was a frustrating day for some, because guys, that was a hard environment. And that was a good football team that was really well coached, and things were not going Kansas State's way in any way. And yet they found a way to get it done through some adjustments at halftime, being challenged again at halftime, and then making some plays when you absolutely had to make them. The strip sack was awesome. The interception in the end zone to finish it off was great. Yeah, you got a call late, but, and I'm just going to be honest with that one. If you go back and watch that, that was the right call. Pick plays are illegal. And he didn't try to get open at any time. He engaged as a blocker immediately, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I think K-State outplayed Tulane pretty clearly in the second half.
100%.
So, you know, the outcome, it got there. It has been chaotic in college football. Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, on with us on Sports Daily. We've seen good teams, or at least what we thought were going to be good teams, lose. I have thought the transfer portal was going to make this happen for a long time now, and I think we're just getting more and more of it. Arizona struggled too. I mean, their defense looked great against Northern Arizona, but I mean, they didn't do much. Their quarterback struggled a little bit. So I don't know. I know that K-State's a 7-point favorite this week, which seems a little crazy to me, but Arizona struggled too. And so it's just on to the next one to some degree. Like, every team is going to be very different, it feels like, with maybe a few exceptions right now, than what we see at the end of the year. Just down the road in Kansas, I think we all feel that way. Yeah. It's a 12-team playoff, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like a year where it's going to be clear who's really good this coming week versus who's really good at the end of the year.
I like what you said, and here's...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What I would add to that, I mean, if you look at a Utah and a Kansas State, maybe even Kansas, West Virginia, some of those types of teams, Iowa State, you know, you've seen ups and downs with all of those teams. Iowa State, that was a really good win for them Saturday, yes, to be honest about it. But in visiting with Stan about this on the way back too, I mean, you think about some of the other teams that not everybody is giving a lot of credence to. I don't care what anybody says. That BYU win on Friday night at SMU has a lot more weight with me than others. And some of those types of teams are getting better. Now, yeah, you can, for every one of those, you have a Texas Tech, right? Okay, but that's football. I would say to you, as an example, KU was dominant against Illinois in the third quarter, but they just made a couple of mistakes that cost them, right? And give Illinois some credit. They ran the ball in the fourth quarter when they needed to do it. There are going to be ups and downs, and I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I think there's very little separation in the top five or six teams in this league, at least through a couple of weeks, and I think it'll continue to play out that way. If I'm wrong, then I'll admit later to you fellas, face-to-face, I'm wrong.
I wonder why it, you know, as we look at Arizona on Friday night, one of the things that I thought about when the K-State game was over on Saturday was, I know how high-octane and high-flying the Arizona offense is, and that's what they want to do, especially in the passing game. They've got one of the best wide receivers in the country, McMillan. In the opener, he caught 10 passes, 304 yards, and had 4 touchdowns when they played New Mexico. And then when you look at the struggles, especially early in the game in the secondary for the Wildcats, there are going to have to be, I would think at least, some major adjustments going in to this game to just try to contain and keep the top on what this Arizona offense wants to do.
The key will be, of course, what they can do in the run game here. It's a hard environment. It is tough. That's the advantage of playing at home. They played the other night against Northern Arizona without their best or top number one running back. But a lot of teams don't have a number two like Quali Conley either, or maybe a three or a four. They're a pretty deep team. But I think with the, and I agree 100% with what you're saying with McMillan, he is absolutely dangerous. Maybe even more so than anybody put on the field by Tulane. And that's no disrespect. I mean, we saw what he did against New Mexico, but every week is different. They played him differently on Saturday. NAU did a nice job against him, but other guys made some plays too. So there's give and take in all of it. But at the end of the day, this will, I'm just going to say, I'm expecting a hard game. I'll be surprised if it's not a hard game, just because of their skill set. I think they're very well coached. They've got coordinators who've been around a long time. Coach Aquina has coached in this league with Mac Brown, so I think he knows kind of what he's doing. And they're probably better defensively than you might think. And we'll see what they are offensively. But they scare the heck out of me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think they should scare, yes, everybody. I don't think we have any clue yet why what will happen in the Big 12. I really don't. I do.
Here's the perfect example, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they look great. Everyone thinks
600 and some yards, yeah, and won in double overtime.
But they beat Arkansas.
They did.
You know, like so. And so, like, I just don't know. I don't know two things. It doesn't feel like to me right now that two Big 12 teams are going to get in, because I don't think anybody is going to be able to run the gauntlet. I haven't seen the update on Utah's quarterback, but I know he left the game with injury again. Mm-hmm. So, like, There just isn't anything clear to me right now in the Big 12. And I would say that's good news for K-State fans, and it's good news for KU fans, because I don't think anything's changed from the beginning of the year based on what we've seen through 2 weeks, other than Oklahoma State probably is a little more dangerous than people gave them credit for now with the quality of their wins. But who knows? Like, we're going to get to the point where probably it's going to be the Big 12 champion, and probably they're going to have two, three, maybe even four losses by the time the dust settles. And that'll be the representative, because I think that it's just too chaotic in this league.
Well, I think you could even take it a step farther past the Big 12. I would, and I'm not a guy that's real big on comparing scores because every week is different. But to augment your point, what are we thinking this morning about Oklahoma? Houston at home a week ago lost to UNLV 27-7. Total domination. They lost, 16-12 at OU. Does that make any sense to you? It doesn't to me, but that's what happened. And I do think that, hey, winning college football games is hard. We say it every week. And I don't think there's a lot of separation. Yeah, you have Georgia, and yeah, you have, you know, a couple of other very elite teams, but that's the case all the time. I just think, can the Big 12 get two? Yeah, I think they can, but I'm not going to be able to sit here and guarantee it to you on, in mid-September. You can't do that.
I just don't think two teams are clearly rising to the top, because it's going to take two teams being dominant throughout the regular season to get there. And that just, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe we'll see. K-State fans, you played about as bad a first half as you could have played and still figured out a way to win it. So if that doesn't happen again, maybe everything's right back on track. Arizona, what do you guys have on the call this, Friday, a little Friday night football?
Yeah, that's going to be a little bit interesting, isn't it? Actually, both Kansas teams play on Friday night, which is quite unique and different and odd, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this one. We've 2-hour pregame, so we'll go on at 5 o'clock. Not totally sure, talking on Monday, what we'll have necessarily for you. But I know we're going to cover all of it. And I really think this will be a very big ball game for both. I'm just going to tell you, I have the sense in visiting with some of the Arizona people that they feel like they're pretty good. I think K-State feels like they're pretty good. Neither played at their optimum level last weekend. What happens this Friday night? It's what makes this fun, fellas.
Oh, I can't
wait. It's what makes it fun.
I can't wait. You'll hear it right here on KFH. Wyatt, we'll have a good one to talk about next week. You guys be good. Enjoy the week at home and enjoy what'll probably be as good a college football atmosphere as we've seen anytime recently. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, people will be stoked for this one, and I get it too. Guys, nice talking to you. Appreciate the opportunity.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. You can always hear Wyatt in the K-State Wildcat Athletics right here on KFH, your home for Wildcat Athletics. Man, we haven't even talked about the overall week in college football. Just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Good luck, everybody. Like, good luck with your bets. It's nuts. It is insane. I love it. This is what we've thought would happen with the transfer portal. It's happening right in front of our eyes.
Well, and oh, by the way, you've got teams like Notre Dame losing
after they just beat A&M right, in like College Station.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Of course, Texas blows all over Michigan, and they're, I think they're, that's
Texas
a big,
is
big
one
story.
Of those
they're
really,
they're for real
good teams. Yeah, they're for one real. Of those handful of really, really good ones. But those really, really good ones that we're seeing right now, they all have to play each other in the SEC. So yeah. Who knows? I love it. It's awesome. And it's awesome that, for KU fans, like, it ain't over. Don't sweat it. We'll talk about that in the next hour, but don't sweat it. Let's touch on the Royals when we come back. Massive weekend for the Kansas City Royals. I mean, just near perfect when you talk about what we were talking about last Monday. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline will be back open for you the rest of the way here on Sports Daily. Thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for always fueling us up here on KFH with a great cup of coffee. We'll be right back. It's all Brockton Castor at Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. One of our new sponsors of the program, Pep and Suter Remodeling. I'm happy to bring them on board. So Pepin and his crew did a recent remodel of our kitchen and a couple other things over the summertime, you might recall on the program. I got to tell you, I'm so glad to have them on board because I couldn't have been happier with the work they did. Not only at the base level was their bid significantly better for us versus the competition, which we really appreciated. The work when they got here, the work was fantastic. And I'll tell you, the biggest thing for me and why I'm glad they're a part of the program, and we can talk about them here for a second, is that their crew took such good care of us. You know, the process, the first day, they knocked out all the countertops, put plywood on the countertops, and made our kitchen functional every day of that remodel. They cleaned up their mess every day. So while we were, you know, put out like people are during a kitchen remodel, we had access and the ability to use our kitchen the entire way through. They moved our refrigerator, plugged it back in. We had it the entire way. That would be the biggest thing I would say was their courtesy while they were working. We were so impressed with that. Their crew was very friendly, very kind. So Pepin Suter Remodeling, they are sponsors of the program now, and we are happy to have them be sponsors of the program. Get in touch with Pepin Suter Remodeling. If you have any home needs, you know, they kind of specialize in the remodels there. Kitchens, I know they do a lot of bathrooms. So we're happy to have them on board. Give them a call if you're thinking about a remodel. Take their bid out. For us, it was significantly lower, and the work and the quality of it was very high. So Pepin Suter Remodeling, glad to have them a part of the program here on Sports Daily. All right, when we come back on the program, we are going to... we are going to dig in a little bit. You know, we sort of took a bird's eye. We haven't talked about the NFL slate. We'll do that. KU fans on the loss. I'll tell you why I'm not nearly as concerned as the masses. I think what we saw in that game is fixable. And I think for the overall season implications, for a lot of the things we've talked, I'm not sure it mattered too much. Now, if you thought KU was going to run the table this year and then perhaps lose a Big 12 championship game, yeah, it cost you there. It cost you if you thought they were going to be an at-large team. I just don't know, based on what we're seeing, that the Big 12 is going to have an at-large team. And even if they do, two losses for KU is not going to keep them, I don't think, out. So we'll dig into all of that. We'll talk a little bit more about the Royals and what they have done over the weekend, and we'll get into that NFL slate as well. If you missed anything from the first hour, including our visit with K-State, voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, you can go back and always listen to that on the Odyssey app. Jad podcast the show out for us, so that's always available for you. We'd invite you to check that out. We'd also invite you to check out the video stream, by the way, Facebook, YouTube, X, and of course, 12 News Connected. You can go back and watch past shows there as well. I'm Jacob Albrock. Tommy Castor will rejoin us as we start the next hour. Don't go away. IHOP hotline's open, 869-1240. Your calls and comments on the video streams to come in the second hour as well. We'll be right back.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Kester.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Albrock and Kester getting you through a reaction Monday. I feel like there's a lot of programs out there that go Reaction Monday, so I don't have some clever new name for it. I mean, we're all doing the same thing, right? We're all reacting to the chaos and insanity of what we saw over the weekend. We've been talking a little bit about college football in that reaction. Let's have some positive reaction here to the Kansas City Royals, Tommy, and we'll get into the NFL slate. We'll get into the reaction a little bit more looking forward for KU, but we'd be remiss if we didn't note that the Royals just had a weekend that, you know, puts their odds to reach the postseason. Most people have them over 90% now. They're back within 2.5 games of Cleveland as they get their fourth straight win. They sweep the series against Minnesota. They put 2.5 games between themselves and the Twins in the Central and in the wild card, perhaps more importantly. They're 6 games up of Detroit. They're 6 games up of Seattle. They're 6.5 games up of Boston. It's looking real good. Now, I will say this, Tommy. Based on what we've seen over the last 2 weeks, don't count your eggs, right? Because we just saw a 7-game losing streak too. I think more than anything, we're seeing a settling of things for the Royals. Starting pitching's looking a little bit better, right? And I say that relatively. I mean, the starting pitching's looking really good, but relative to what it was looking like compared to itself, it's looking a little bit better. Ursig appears to be back. That might be as important as anything we saw all weekend. And here's the other thing, Tommy. Four-game win streak. Bobby Witt Jr. is in a slump for Bobby Witt Jr. standards. I highly doubt that that will remain the case the rest of the way. So as he has cooled significantly, they're winning some games. That, to me, is my biggest takeaway. All right, as he's working through that, they've still been able to win games. Things look really good for the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go back to your comment about don't count your eggs, because all you have to do is look at the schedule this week, because the Royals head to New York to take on the first place Yankees.
Correct.
Meanwhile, the Guardians are playing the White Sox for a three-game set. So just keep that in mind. You know, they've closed that gap with Cleveland. They're 2.5 back after yesterday. But just keep that in mind, that the way that the schedules are lined out, at least for the next couple of days, absolutely does favor Cleveland. And so I think the odds of the Royals gaining any more ground, at least in the next couple of days, are probably slim. That being said, though, you know, this brutal 20-game stretch that we have been talking about for weeks now, going all the way back to the third week of August, is almost over. There's only three more games left in that brutal 20-game stretch, and it's the three on the road against the Yankees. But if the Royals are somehow able to keep this up and take two of three from the Yankees, they'll finish the 20-game stretch at 10-10. They'll finish at 500, which I think that, you know, going into it, I know at least you said, man, 10-10, like, you probably feel fairly good about that, you know, as you're playing the teams that you're playing. And so, you know, is it likely that they can go into New York and take two of three? I think maybe if they can continue on with the pitching that we've seen over the course of at least the last couple of games during this four-game winning streak that the Royals have had, they've got to get the offense kind of back going a little bit. But really, it was pitching that was dominant for Kansas City over the course of the weekend. There are a lot of different things that I think you feel pretty good about in that set against Minnesota, including Michael Wacha yesterday. I thought pitched phenomenally. And so if you can carry that on over the next little while, then I think, again, yeah, you feel fairly good about where Kansas City stands.
And was it Saturday where they had the late inning comeback? It was Friday or Saturday. All my days are running together because there was so much football. But I watched it. It was. And Bobby Witt Jr. had a big hit in that game, by the way. I don't want to take that away from him. He had the go-ahead big hit. And Ken points out that Salvi is also slumping. Yeah, I mean, your two big dogs are not at what they'll be before the end of this season, and you're finding ways to win. They won a game late. They've been holding on to leads. Like, all of these things are the more positive things we've seen. I cannot wait to get an injury update on Vinny Pasquantino as we get toward the end of the season to see if he might be able to be back. But at least we're settling in. The teams surrounding the Royals have helped. There's no doubt about it. But we knew that coming in, that this just was not going to be that year where you need 96, 95 wins to get into the postseason. It hadn't been that all year long. And so right now it feels really good. And the Royals are they're on the right track, and they get to continue this thing. And we'll see if they can, you know, finish as strongly as they've been going for the last four. But yeah, you just need to get one, two would be great. But all things considered, after a 7-game losing streak, as long as you get one here, I think you feel okay. But I, you know, probably don't need to think about it that way. Just each game is each game, right? Like, each game is its own individual thing. They go at 6:05, right, tonight in New York against that team that is heated up a lot and is so dangerous in so many different ways. You get, who do we have in this series? You've got Singer, Lugo, Reagans. The Yankees counter with three pretty good pitchers, Rodon, Stroman, Gill. So it's going to be tough, but that's okay. The Royals are playing better. If we came through this, Tommy, and they just, like, let's say they were finding ways to win. But the thing for me isn't that they've won all these games in a row. I mean, that's certainly the big, but it's just that they're playing better, right? Like, this to me is more of the Royals we've come to know. That 7-game losing streak, it looked like the wheels were falling off, not just because they were losing, but because everything was going wrong. And it was like, oh no. Like, you make it the whole year without that happening, and it's finally happening. Well, at least as much as anything, this recent stretch tells you, no, blip on the radar. They're back to playing good baseball. Whether they win all these games or lose all these games, at least they're playing good baseball again.
Well, and I think that Brady Singer is trending up, you know, at least as much as you can. And that's, it's a low bar because he had a really, really brutal August. Overall, in the course of the month, he had a 5.53 ERA in August. So if anybody was ready to turn the page into September, it was Brady Singer. That 5.53 ERA, by the way, that includes his last two outings in the month of September when he pitched pretty well in the month of August, where he pitched pretty well against Houston and Cleveland. And so it was much worse early in the month of August. And I had some major concerns about where Brady Singer was as we got down the home stretch. But I feel like he's kind of turned it around. He wants to continue, you know, on that pace for sure. And I think being able to, like I said, turn that calendar page to the month of September, I think trending up is a fair term to use with Brady Singer. So he's going to get the ball tonight. Carlos Rodon, you know, has a decent win-loss record. He's 14-9, but his ERA is high. His whip is high. You know, I know that it's been kind of a hit or miss season for Rodon. And really it's come down to if he's pitching at Yankee Stadium or if he's pitching on the road. He's been a lot better at home than on the road. His ERA is over 5 on the road, but it's almost right at 3 at home. So, you know, he's done a really good job pitching at home. He's going to get the ball in New York tonight, obviously. And so it should be a good pitching matchup tonight. I like both of these pitchers in this match.
I'm scared.
It's going to come down to, can Brady Singer keep that consistency that we've seen the last two outings up?
I'm scared of Singer in New York. I'll be honest. He scares me in New York. Just because we know he allows a lot of contact, right? And against that team, allowing a lot of contact is a little bit frightening. I think back to his game against the Phillies where he just got shelled a little bit. I hope that's not the case. He pitched well in Houston. That might be the one to look at the most closely. But him pitching in New York, it scares me. It scares me. That's not going to be the one I look at. We'll just put it that way. If the Royals get this first one, I'm going to feel real good about the series. But him pitching there, it's just a bit, to me, it just feels like bad matchup for him. But
so which is the one that you're, if there's one that you're targeting, is it Tuesday night when you've got Stroman and Lugo? Yes. Is that the matchup that you're looking at?
It is, yes. Okay. And quite frankly, like Gil just came off the IL. Now he, and I know him because he plays for my fantasy baseball team. He just came off the IL and was really, really good. But he did just come off the IL. So I think they've got two great opportunities with Lugo and Reagans in those second two games. I'll put it this way. I wouldn't put my money on the Royals tonight. And if I did, I'd bet the over because I think about how much contact Singer allows, which is fine. It's part of his game. But against that lineup at their place and that stadium, that does scare me a little bit. It scares me. But we'll see that you'll hear that game here tonight on KFH. Let me go back on that. That game moves over to KNSS, programming note 6, because you'll have Jets Niners here tonight at 7 o'clock. But the Royals, back on track. We love to see it. They're grooving here. They've got things back in the right direction. Hopefully, even if they lose these games, as long as it's not wheels falling off kind of a situation, then I'll feel pretty good. I will say this about this entire series. Salvi and Bobby Witt Jr. in that stadium also excite me a whole lot, right? Bigger spotlight, bigger stage, national attention on this series. Certainly, those two guys step up to those moments. So as much as Singer scares me, I'd be scared if I was the Yankees too, at those two guys potentially heating up there. All right, Tommy, let's pivot here. Just, you know, we'll cover two things in this segment. Back to KU, I think. So we went over the insanity of that loss. Should not have happened. Insanely frustrating that it did. I get it. I got a lot of reaction of, well, this blows the playoff chances. And of course, that's not true because of the, you know, because of the 12-team playoff and that the conference champion will get in. But as a wild card or as an at-large in the new format, I do think that part's worth discussing. If we look back at this and KU has, let's call it 3 losses, which we know rarely would get you in I don't think there's any chance that three losses get you in this year if you're in the Big 12. I think it's got to be two or fewer, and maybe even one or fewer. But if two or fewer is the reality, what were the chances KU was ever going to make this thing through as a conference championship game loser with two or fewer losses? Does that make any sense? Like, I think the chances out of the Big 12 of these at-larges are so dadgum low that I'm not terribly concerned in that regard for KU. I don't think anything we saw Saturday should dissuade KU fans from thinking they can earn a spot in the Big 12 championship game and then try and punch their ticket that way. What I think we might see this year is a bunch of teams with maybe three, four losses vying for a spot to get into the Big 12 championship game. I think that's far more likely than it ever was that somebody's going to get through and have only one loss for an at-large, and that loss being the Big 12 championship game.
Well, just look at the top 25 from last week and the teams that fell. Of course, Notre Dame lost and number 10 Michigan lost. And you had, you know, Iowa at 21 lose and NC State at 24 lose. There were several top 25 teams just in week number two that fell. And then, oh, by the way, there were a handful of other ones in week one that lost. And so there's going to be, at least as it stands right now, if this continues, a jumbled up mess. And right. So knowing that, you know, I think that really what KU, and it's not just going to be KU, it's going to be a lot of teams. What they're going to be rooting for as the season goes on is, okay, if we don't win a conference championship, we need chaos. We need all of these teams to lose. We need there to be all of this, you know, just chaotic situation where you've got three lost teams, four lost teams, maybe five lost teams. Like, there are a lot of different scenarios, but it's got to happen in other conferences too. And I think that that's really what I'm starting to realize and what I'm starting to look at is all off season long, I've been under the impression, and I think the right impression, that the Big 12 had so much parity that teams were going to beat up on each other. I think it might be that way in other conferences too. There might be one or two teams that rise above, like, you know, in the SEC, you've got probably Georgia and you've got Texas, and, you know, there's the maybe Alabama, like there's the class of the conferences, but by and large, you've got a big jumbled up mess in the middle. And I think that any kind of chaos like that, and teams beating up on each other, cannibalizing each other, that will ultimately, at the end of the day, help teams like Kansas and maybe other teams in the Big 12 too, be able to plant their flag in the 12-team playoff, even if they do have three losses.
So even more. So I think when you look at this, you got to look and say, okay, are there going to be, because you know that you're going to get four conference champions, right? Okay. That leaves eight at-larges. We think that probably the best of the rest of the non-Power Fives will get in. So that leaves seven. If that leaves seven for you, let's look at it this way. Georgia and Texas both appear to be very, very good, right? One of them will be, if in a scenario, at least one of them has to be an at-large, right? That would take it down to six. And then you just keep looking at the rankings right now. Ohio State appears to be really good. Well, they can be the conference champion. Okay, USC has looked really, really good. USC, Oregon struggled, but it was against Boise. You know, so when you look at the Big Ten, there appear to be at least, I would say, three like legitimately really good teams. Penn State struggled against Bowling Green. So I think the jury's still out on Penn State a little bit. Ole Miss and Missouri haven't played anybody. I'm just looking at the top 12 right now. They haven't played anybody. Alabama struggled, yes, against USF. Then they flexed hard at the end. I think Alabama's going to be there, right? But I think and Tennessee looks really good too. Miami looks really good. So there are all of these teams. And when we're talking about only probably having seven at-larges, when you go and you look at that list, I just think it's going to be hard for the Big 12 to mix into that list, because what it will take is a team legitimately having one loss or zero losses to be in that mix most of this season. And then you have to compare strength of schedules, and that's where the SEC is going to take off like wildfire. They're going to have a ton of teams in there because there's so many dang good teams in that league. I'm not convinced the Big Ten is the same right now because Michigan does not look good. So you've got Ohio State. Maybe you've got Oregon and USC as the two new members. Is anybody else in there that we're saying, oh, there's no doubt about it, that's going to be a good team? Probably not. There's just not going to be a lot of spots remaining, I think, when it gets down to it. So unless you see a Big 12 running through the rest of this season as a one-loss team, losing then in the conference championship game. So I think what it would take is for a one or zero loss team to lose the conference championship game to get an at-large. I don't think that's happening. I don't think we'll have two one or zero loss teams playing in the Big 12 championship game. So to me, that just sort of eliminates that reality anyway. There's too many good teams. I don't know that I would say there are any elite teams based on what we've seen so far. And so the formula is not there this year for the Big 12. It's just not. I don't think it is.
Well, I think what it's going to take is, you know, you've got these teams that, you know, maybe have had struggles early on in the non-conference, and I'm looking at KU in this regard, to at this point, I don't even think running the table is the expectation, but you've got to limit your losses. I mean, I think that the margin of error has gotten significantly smaller for teams like Kansas now in the Big 12. You have to take care of business with UNLV this weekend. You've got to really pick your spots in the Big 12. I think one positive note for the Jayhawks is that by all accounts, their conference schedule is probably lighter than some other teams in the conference like Kansas State. So that is helpful, but there's no cakewalk, you know, really anywhere in the conference. You're done with that.
Yeah.
So you've got to really, you know, take advantage first off of UNLV this weekend. It's a team that, you know, I think that they've got the capability to beat for sure. But then in conference play, understand that your margin of error has gotten significantly smaller. I would imagine that when the dust settles at the end of the year, you're going to have many teams, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 teams maybe, that could stake a claim to one of the final at-large spots or have an argument to make in favor for that. And so it's, you know, I remember last year when in the 14 playoff, the conversation really centered around Florida State. Like there was one team at the end of the day that really felt like they could have made their way into the Final Four and didn't. I think you're going to have several teams at the bottom of that 12-team bracket that feel like they could have or should have a strong argument to get in. I think it's going to be chaotic at the very end. That's a big reason why they did that, because of the intrigue and all of it.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a lot of teams that are in that mix that probably feel like they've got a legitimate shot.
No question. I think it's simple, though. Do you think, Tommy, that there will be two Big 12 teams with fewer?
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
More than three losses.
Man, probably.
Really?
I think so. I think so. You don't think so?
I don't think so. No, I don't think two of them. I think there'll be one, okay. But I don't think there'll be two.
I think I could see there being two.
If you know, again, like, if you've got a Big 12 championship game loser with two losses, you just got to go back and look at the way the CFP has fallen over the years with where like the top 12 have been. It's almost never a three-loss team in that top 12. It's almost always a two-loss team is at the back end of it. And I'll be surprised if there are two teams in the Big 12 that have two or fewer losses. And so, again, like to the point for KU, the reason we're even talking about this is, yeah, that loss sucks. But unless you think KU was going to run the table through or have one loss, then it doesn't really matter. They just need to win the Big 12 championship. And I don't think anything that we've seen so far among any team in the Big 12 would tell me that KU's not capable of doing that. Certainly not K-State either. I mean, K-State and KU are both absolutely in the mix as the best teams, especially if Utah doesn't have a quarterback, right? And I haven't seen the severity of his injury that he left the game with. But it's going to be as wild as we thought it was going to be. It is. And so don't sweat it too much. I mean, I know it sucks. It sucks because KU was the better team and they should have won that game. But big picture, everything's still right there in front of him. That's why this 12-team playoff makes this sport 1,000 times better. Could you imagine the deflation if you didn't have the 12-team playoff on September 9th that you'd already feel if you were a KU football fan? I mean, it'd be brutal. Be miserable. That's what I've always hated about college football, quite frankly, and we're finally done with it. All right, let's come back. We'll talk about the NFL slate. We haven't even touched on the NFL yet, which is crazy. On our way out, let's set up our text to win contest for HTO. You can enter the contest. All you got to do is text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That will get our winner a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors to choose from, and a free rain coffee drink, now featuring the new fall flavors, the apple chai dirty the apple crisp dirty chai. Sorry folks, I drink black coffee. That and a butter pecan mocha latte. Both of those come iced and hot. You can choose one of those or many of the other coffee drinks there at HTO. Good luck, everybody. That's keyword T to short code 20357. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little NFL football when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We appreciate their support. Tommy, you spent a little time, a little golfing there for you.
Yeah, a little bit of time is an understatement. I was there a lot this weekend. We had our annual member golf tournament out at Crestview on Saturday and Sunday. It was a long weekend. It was a lot of golf. I love playing golf. It's probably my top hobby. But when you go through a tournament like that, it's a grind. And then you get done. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm good playing golf for a while. I think I kind of want to take a little break.
I'm playing a charity event Friday, and that is the first one of those. I bet you it's the first one I've played in 6 years. It's been a long time, and I love them when you play them, but that's very different than what you were playing. What you were playing was far more serious, usually than those fun charity tournaments where you have wacky, like, whole bonus prizes and all that stuff. You were playing serious golf, and that's a different animal, but we appreciate Crestview. They put on all those kinds of fun and cool events. If, you know, competitive nature, all of that stuff, give them a call. Tell them we sent you. Maybe you were in there watching some NFL football yesterday at the bar. We had some of our kids' sports now fall on Sundays, which I'm not sure how I feel about that. But we're going to get there because I like to turn on the NFL and watch the NFL all day long on a Sunday when I get to it. But it was good still. Got plenty in. The Chiefs played Thursday, so we'll start to look ahead to the Chiefs later in this week. I don't know what the biggest takeaways were, Tommy, in the game. The Lions sort of survived one last night. That was a really nice win for them when it looked like they were going to let it slip away. I feel good about my prediction that I think the Cardinals are going to be better than people think they are. The Bills, though, got it done in late fashion. The Panthers are terrible. The Texans won one of the headline games of the week. Caleb Williams didn't look very good, but they still win. The Bengals losing, Tommy, is...
That's the biggest one.
The Bengals losing, I think, or the Cowboys winning on the road in Cleveland the way that they did, to me, are probably the two biggest statements we saw over the weekend.
That's the biggest one. The Bengals losing to the Patriots, where by all accounts, I think people had already decided that New England was not going to be any good. And I don't know how good they actually are.
Not.
But I think it's more about the Bengals looked awful. And, you know, especially offensively, they couldn't do anything. And I don't know how much of that is a byproduct of Ja'Marr Chase not being around the team, you know, up until what, like 2 days ago. I don't know how much of it has to do with T. Higgins not being in the game. They couldn't do hardly anything offensively at all. I also think that it is some credit that you can give to Jerod Mayo getting the defense with New England ready to go. And that's one area where even post Bill Belichick, there is a little bit of continuity with that team, as Jerod Mayo has been around that defense for a long time. And now he's running the entire show. So I think that part of it has been overlooked a little bit for New England going into the season, is that while they may have some growing pains offensively as they're rebuilding what they want to do from an offensive identity perspective, the defense does remain a little bit more consistent. But that was the biggest takeaway for me, was that the Bengals, I think there are some legitimate concerns with them moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, they didn't have T. Higgins. Ja'Marr Chase was on a pitch count. And the Bengals always suck at the beginning of the year. Don't know why this happens every year. And the reason I know and remember that is because I always lose my bets on the Bengals. And I did not bet them yesterday, but I always lose bets on the Bengals early in the year because they're never as good as they're supposed to be. The Bengals, to me, are a team that if they have a place in the playoff table, they're going to concern me. And what happens between now and then, they're pretty unpredictable. But Joe Burrow in the playoffs, you know, I think if you're a Chiefs fan, concerns you. Other than that, we'll see. And look, we see them next week or this week. That's this weekend. So the Chiefs are going to find out real quick. You know, if the Bengals struggle like that against the Chiefs will run them out of the building. I suspect that they won't. I'm thinking an ugly game, but I haven't even really began to dig in on that. Cowboys over Browns, Tommy, surprised me a lot. The Cowboys get a last minute deal with Dak done. Cowboys fans are pulling their hair out about that. And then they come out and they beat up on the Browns in a game that, you know, most people were in on the Browns in that environment because the Cowboys have not been a particularly good road team for a long time. The Browns have this defense, the Cowboys, and the Browns, they hung 33 on them. They hung 33 on them, and they didn't even do that much. Oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson is not good at football. That's not changed. So I don't know about Cleveland overall in that, but the Cowboys put 33 up with 265 yards of offense. But in the NFL, it all matters, Tommy. Like, every way you can get it matters. As chaotic as this offseason was for them, at the end of the day, their guys are there and they win that game that way. I thought that was a pretty big statement for them. And I'm skeptical on them as any sort of contender, but I don't know that a lot of people saw that coming.
Well, I mean, I think that from just a pure talent perspective on paper, the Cowboys have more talent, I believe, than the Browns.
I don't know that I think that outside of quarterback.
I absolutely do. I mean, like, I think that from a wide receiver standpoint, you know, you've got CeeDee Lamb, who is the class of the NFL. I know that the Browns have Amari Cooper and they added Jerry Jeudy and, you know, whatever. But I think by and large, especially offensively, the Cowboys on paper have had a more talent-filled roster for sure than Cleveland did. I think the biggest thing with the Cowboys, and this is the way that it's always been, I believe. I don't know how you feel as a Cowboys fan. For me, it's never about the names of the players on the depth chart. It's about the execution. That's usually been the issue with the Cowboys, how they execute when they are, at least on paper, in my opinion, the better team. And this was one of those scenarios where I get why people were fading the Cowboys. PJ Glasser told us last week that he was fading the Cowboys hard. And I think it's solely because of execution and not because of talent. They executed. Like, they, in my mind, they showed that when things are working right, they can execute at a high level and they can absolutely perform and dominate a game. And that's what they did against Cleveland.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson sucks. I'm sorry. He just is not good at football and he's not going to be, and that's going to be a disaster and what holds them back. And I hate it for Browns fans because I do think they have a talented roster otherwise. You know, other state, Jim Harbaugh got a pretty convincing win. I didn't see that coming. That was a slop fest kind of, but I'm just telling you right now, Jim Harbaugh is going to win a lot of slop fest games like that, where they're just going to find a way to win because that is what he's done forever. And he has Justin Herbert as his quarterback. They will just find ways to win as they did yesterday in a game that they were outgained and all these things. They win it by 12 points. This is just wild. Steelers to me had a big statement win, Tommy. A lot of people are high on the Falcons. Justin Fields comes in, no problem. Steelers are still able to win that game. All eyes, though, were on the rookie quarterbacks. I think around the league, we saw Jaden Daniels. We saw Caleb Williams. Williams did not play particularly well. They win a game. I think people have been sleeping on their defense. Jaden Daniels played much better than Caleb Williams, yet they lose the game by 17 points. We'll probably see a lot of that. Jaden Daniels, of course, two rushing touchdowns. Fantasy managers, be excited if you got Jaden Daniels. But I thought for the rookie quarterbacks, at least for those two, it was a pretty good outing. And then you had Bo Nix there in Seattle. What'd you think of the rookies? Bo Nix did not look good at all, which I'm not in on Bo Nix, but I am in on Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels as long as he's healthy. And I had nothing changed in any of that for me.
Well, Williams, I think, was bailed out by the Chicago defense. I mean, sure, there's no doubt about that. I think that it's going to take a little bit of time for a player the caliber of Caleb Williams to settle in the NFL. And I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't know if that's going to be, we're talking about a matter of a couple of weeks or midway through the season or the entire season. But he needs to settle in a little bit more. I think that from what I saw from him yesterday, he looked like a rookie quarterback. He really did. I think some of that's to be expected. However, when you are thrust into that position as the new face of the franchise, you're not really given any kind of leash, like any kind of room or time to settle in and warm up to that role. It's like, jump in, you're expected to perform right then and there based off of what he did in college. I think it's going to take him a little bit of time. A player like Jaden Daniels doesn't have quite that much pressure on his shoulders. They want him to be the face of the franchise. But the hopes and dreams long term of the Chicago Bears are 100% wrapped up in Caleb Williams. With Jaden Daniels, it's not quite that extreme. So I think he can have a little bit more grace to be able to settle into the role. Same thing with Bo Nix. You know, I think that Bo Nix long term could be an okay quarterback. I don't think he's going to be great. I think he might be okay at best, but really right now Denver doesn't have much of a choice, you know, other than just to give the keys to the team to him.
Right. They're just not going to be very good. Jaden Daniels will have more leash too because of the way he plays. His legs will allow him to be successful. Caleb Williams is going to have to. And honestly, like if we think back on rookie quarterbacks and Caleb Williams, I'm not bailing him out. I can't remember a rookie being put in a better situation, and I think he'll be fine. But really, there's only been two that I can think of off the top of my head that have been really good right out of the gates. Justin Herbert in their rookie seasons, Justin Herbert and CJ Stroud. Those are the only two. Patrick Mahomes, of course, didn't play his first year, so we don't know. And Joe Burrow got hurt in his. Most of these guys take that year two leap, right? Speaking of CJ Stroud, he's got it, man. And Houston, with the weapons they've added and the coach that they have coaching the defense, don't be surprised if that's not the team that challenges the Chiefs this year in an AFC championship game. Like, I don't know yet because I don't know enough about Houston's defense, but if you tell me they add Joe Mixon and Steph Diggs to that offense that we saw a year ago with Stroud clearly not missing a beat, they're going to be filthy this year. They're going to be awesome. They're going to be one of the more fun teams in the NFL to watch. And man, CJ Stroud, when we think back to the, and I guess Herbert had this to some degree, but when you talk about all these quarterbacks that get taken in first rounds that we sort of overlook, we probably overlooked him the most, and he is so flipping good. And I love it for that team, but they're dangerous, man. They are dangerous. That was a big win on the road against Indianapolis, because I think Indianapolis, as long as Richardson's healthy, is going to be pretty good this year too. That's a big win for the Texans, and Stroud was fantastic in that game.
He really was, and I don't disagree with you that C.J. Stroud was overlooked compared to Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson and just, you know, the rookie class from a year ago. He's established himself. I was high on the Texans a year ago. I'm high on them this season as well. I think it's going to be a three-horse race in the AFC between the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Texans. I don't think that the Bills are nearly as good as they were a season ago or have been in the past. Josh Allen can't do it all. He's a great quarterback, but he can't do it all. And he just doesn't have the caliber of weapons around him. I'm down on the Bengals after what we saw last week. I think they'll probably round into form a little bit more, but I don't think that they are quite as good, you know, as they have been in the past. I really think that it's those three teams, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Texans. By the way, going back to that rookie quarterback class of a year ago, I love CJ Stroud, and I don't disagree with you. It was really good to me to see what Anthony Richardson was able to do for the Colts coming back from his injury a year ago. He looked fresh. He looked good. He looked dynamic, in my opinion. And so assuming he can stay healthy and Jonathan Taylor can stay healthy, I think the Colts have an opportunity to be much improved this year.
Yeah, they do. I think they'll be pretty good. Love the NFL. Next week we'll be saying completely different things because who knows, it gets turned upside down. I mean, the fact that the Rams almost won that game last night with Puka Nacua leaving early without either of their tackles, like all the things that were going against them, and they were just like I love the NFL so much. Like, I'm such a sucker for it, and we'll get a great one tonight between the Niners and the Jets. Let's talk about that when we return. Here comes Aaron Rodgers, Breece Hall in the spotlight, Wichita's own. Should be a lot of fun. We'll hit it next. Sports Daily, rolling forward on a Monday. Don't go anywhere.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. on this Monday, a reaction Monday. Tonight at 7, it's Monday Night Football, the final game of Week 1, Jets and 49ers. You can tune in to 97.5 1240 KFH right here, 7 o'clock. You can also go to odyssey.com and search for KFH. Simply download the Odyssey app if you want to listen to the game. I will likely be doing that very thing as I'm driving back from Hutchinson at the State Fair this evening. I will be listening to the game that way. Tommy, I mean, the obvious headline here is the return of Aaron Rodgers. I think this is, for me anyway, it's a pretty hard game to predict from a betting perspective. The over-under is pretty low at 43.5, which makes me want to stay away, +3.5 to the Jets. I don't even remember who I picked on Friday because I've struggled with this game. I think for fun, I'm just going to put together like a Breece Hall big game just because I want to finally see him unleashed with a good quarterback, I hope. And other than that, though, I do think this is wildly unpredictable. I mean, the Niners have all their guys by all accounts. We'll see that Jets defense get tested here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really just I'm going to defer to what I know, and what I know are the 49ers. I don't know the Jets. I mean, I know their talent on paper for sure. Clearly Breece Hall, clearly Garrett Wilson, clearly that defense and Sauce Gardner and everything that they've built. I get all of that, and that is all well and good, but we don't know about Aaron Rodgers. And just simply for that, I said it on Friday, I'm sticking with it. I've got to lean 49ers just because they made it to the Super Bowl a year ago and they basically returned nearly everybody. And so I have a hard time, even with the allure and the appeal of what the Jets could be at full strength with Aaron Rodgers, I have a hard time jumping on board with that until I see it tonight.
I mean, I'll tell you this, I'm not going to bet the Jets. I'm trying to find and think of the over-under. Jad said I picked the Jets, which means I think I had it at 4 points, which I'm fine with. I'd rather have the points, I think, in this one, but I'm not like comfortable with that at all. Aaron Rodgers in prime time, he's had as much to prove here as he ever has. Breece Hall, his rushing and receiving, Tommy, combination is at even money right now at 100 yards. I kind of like that. I do think if the Jets are going to have success in the game, it's going to be through Breece Hall. So, you know, maybe that's a way to... This is a game, and I don't say this very often because I'm almost always excited to bet games. This is a game I just am really excited to watch, even with nothing on it. I just want to know what Aaron Rodgers might be able to bring to the table this year. We were robbed of that opportunity in this very spot last year. Monday Night Football, the opener, all of the drama to get him to New York, all of those things, and then we're robbed of that. So I just want to see that as much as anything else. One more note from Jad. Tommy, if you've never been a Jets fan before, a 49er win here means Paul Savage goes 6-for-6 on his picks.
Can you believe that? Like, can you believe that?
And remember how many islands he took just to take islands?
I know.
Going to crush us in the standings.
It's, I don't know. It's like a Rain Man type thing, right?
He's won their contest multiple times over the years.
I know. It's like he, you know, we're all kind of like lured into this false sense of like security. And we're like, yeah, it's Paul. That's Savage. We're fine. I can't explain it. It is unexplainable.
Well, go Breece Hall. I am excited. There are two players that I really like in the NFL that I feel like have been shortchanged on their ability to be as awesome as they can be. Breece Hall is one of them. Garrett Wilson's the other. Aaron Rodgers potentially unlocks both of them. And I really just want that to happen. I really want to see those two players play at their highest level without Zach Wilson as their quarterback, you know, like that for me is what. Now, whether or not they win the game, don't really care. Want it to be a good game. I mean, I hate the Niners as much, like from a fan's perspective, I hate the Niners as much as any team in football. So I will be rooting for the Jets, but the Niners are very good. They're going to be very good. They have all their pieces back, right? They got them all back. They got Williams. They got Ayuk. Yeah. They got them all back. So they should be full.
Trent Williams is good to go. I mean, they've got their full complement of weapons, you know, no doubt about that. So I think that's going to make it such a fun game. And the NFL, you know, they were smart. They knew what they were doing and making this matchup the final game of week number one. I mean, the way that it started with the Chiefs and Ravens and the way it's ending with the Jets and Niners.
ESPN is so addicted to Aaron Rodgers. Like they are so addicted to Aaron Rodgers.
But think about it this way. Like Aaron Rodgers goes down four snaps into the year last year. Week number one is just about over. We still haven't seen him. Like they're saving that for last.
So
it's going to be fun.
Can't wait. One more. And then we turn the page to next week. That'll be tonight again. You can hear it on KFH or on the Odyssey app. Tune in. We'll be here tomorrow to talk about it. We'll tell you what else is on the network. There's a lot. It's a busy night on the network. That's next on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.